Hi, I'm Mike Gasowitz, CEO of Tricert Financial Group. Welcome to another episode of In Focus. Today, we're going to look at the Q1 results, if you will, or performance of our industrials and technology sectors. Joining me today is Dave Gill, our portfolio manager responsible for this sector. Welcome, Dave.
Good morning, Mike.
Great to have you on. So let's just talk about the sectors. How, from a business perspective, maybe let's start with industrials and then we can talk about tech. Let's start with industrials. How did our businesses perform, the core picks perform in the quarter?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, we're not completely through Q1 earnings season yet, but for the companies that have reported thus far, I think overall we've seen pretty good results from our company. So we're definitely happy with that. We recently revisited our outlook for 2024 at the sector level for all of the sectors, quite frankly. And when we look specifically at industrials and information technology, you know, what we're seeing is that the way we would evaluate the sectors is that we tend to approach them from the bottom up. So we pay less attention to the sort of the top down or the macro view, and we really focus, you know, to a point that you've made recently, and that is on business performance. And so when we look at business fundamentals, generally we're speaking about the valuation or the price you pay and then what you get for that price. And what you get generally is, you know, we like to frame in terms of revenue growth or earnings growth, because generally speaking, stock prices follow both of those factors. So when we look at specifically at the information technology sector and the industrial sector, right now, they're both trading at premium. So the price you pay is relatively expensive for what you get. I think if you look at the revenue growth and the earnings growth for both industrials and technology, obviously for technology, you have this AI tailwind, so you have lots of optimism, and so valuations have increased. So I think the price that you pay in technology is relatively expensive compared to the rest of the market and to other sectors. For industrials, it's also a little bit pricey as well. From an earnings and revenue growth perspective, I think for industrials, you generally get sort of in line-ish to a little bit of a discount to overall market earnings growth and revenue growth. And then for IT, you get a little bit better on both of those attributes. So we basically think that, you know, industrials and technology at the sector level don't look as attractive as they once did. Having said that, underneath the hood, if you will, we still find select opportunities. So, you know, we're not buying the market here. We're buying individual stocks within the sector. And so when we look at individual stocks within the sector, we're still seeing some good operating fundamentals as evidenced by recent Q1 results.
And when you say they don't look as attractive, are you talking from a business outlook perspective or more just from, and I think you were coming at it more from the market price. They're just getting a little too frothy for taste.
Exactly. You know, it's more of the price you pay, the valuation.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is, you know, there's this saying that, you know, in the short term, the market is a voting machine. And in the long term, it's a weighing machine. And I think in the near term or the short term, what's happened is that the market, particularly in industrials and IT, has discounted, you know, we've gone from this sort of hard landing scenario to a soft landing scenario to a no landing scenario. We also see a very dovish outlook from central bankers in North America, which are suggesting that rates have peaked and are likely to go lower from here. So if you combine those two, you know, those two factors, that's been very supportive to valuations in these more economically sensitive sectors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So talk about, again, maybe some specifics. Any example of some of our core picks that some highlights that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I think maybe on the U.S. IT side, I think one name that's sort of top of mind right now is Apple. So in the U.S. Hardware space, if you look at their recent quarter, I think they reported last week, and, you know, it was a reasonably good quarter overall. Generally speaking, revenue was in line with expectations and earnings were slightly better. Now, what's happening with Apple right now is that, you know, that generally speaking, if you think about Apple, they've built out this incredibly powerful ecosystem over the last couple of decades. You know, about 50% of their revenue comes from iPhone. But beyond iPhone, they have, you know, Mac, iPad, wearables. They've recently introduced Apple Vision Pro, which is another wearables product, which basically is their entry. It's a new SKU. It's a new entry into spatial computing. So combining the virtual world with the real world, if you will. The company's talked about how that's really gained some traction in the enterprise space. I guess originally, potentially, you know, investors thought about that more as a consumer product, but it's really gaining traction in the enterprise space from a training standpoint. Doctors are using it for pre-op, you know, training, that type of thing. It's not a significant line item for the company, but it just shows you the innovation that the company is coming to market with.
Yeah, just to interrupt on that note, my son and he's a software developer, and he was talking about this headset, even from a software development perspective. We got into it just in terms of, you know, you and I right now, we're talking, you know, this is a virtual recording. We're over these monitors, but with that virtual headset, it can sort of really change, first of all, how we interact with each other, but more as the individuals as they work, suddenly you almost have an infinite screen. Well, that's an exaggeration, but close, you know, a much broader screen, so to speak, to work with. Anyway, to your point, some interesting movement there.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the pain point for Apple right now is that traditionally it's been viewed as a very product centric company. And what's happening right now is we're seeing a shift from products to services. So if you think about services that Apple, provides to the market, you know, we're talking about things like iPay, iTunes, Apple TV, iCloud, and that's becoming a larger percentage of overall revenue, which is in some sense is a good thing because it's higher margin. So you get about double the margin you get on services than you get on products. So we're seeing this transition that Apple is currently undertaking from products to services. So that's overall a good thing because, again, it will boost margins. But the market right now is really focused on what's happening on the product side. So there's a lot of competition right now for iPhone. We're seeing it from Samsung. We're seeing it from a lot of the Chinese manufacturers like Huawei, Xiaomi, Oppo. And so investors are concerned about the fierce competition on the product side. So Apple needs to do what they've always done, and that is to innovate. And one of the things that they're talking about, Tim Cook, is really leaning into Gen AI. And so what we expect next month at their Worldwide Developers Conference is Apple to introduce some sort of AI functionality on their next generation of iPhones, right, which we hope will create a bit of a tailwind or an upgrade cycle on the product side. But overall, I guess the sort of the big takeaway on the quarter for Apple was what they did on the capital allocation front. Now, you don't typically, I think last podcast we talked a little bit about the duration of the information technology sector. So generally speaking, you don't see a lot of dividend yield. You don't see a lot of high ROEs. These are high growth companies that are investing for the future and just focusing on top line or revenue growth. But Apple is a good example of a company with very high ROEs. They generate a ton of cash flow. And really what stole the show in the last quarter for Apple, interestingly, was the fact that they surprised the market with an upgraded buyback program. So generally speaking, over the last 3 years, they've bought back about $90 billion in stock.
Right.
And they announced last week that they're going to be buying back $110 billion of stock this year. They also bumped their dividend for the 12th year in a row. So you don't typically think of Apple as sort of a capital allocation story, but it's largely becoming that right now. I guess in some ways its success has worked against it. You know, it's almost a $3 trillion company. And so it's hard to get growth off of that huge base. So they're starting to return a lot of the cash to shareholders through buybacks and dividend increases, albeit, you know, their dividend yield is still quite small at about 50 basis points on their current stock price. But that's sort of the story with Apple right now.
Okay. That's a good summary there on Apple. Anybody else, say, in the industrial sector you'd like to highlight?
Yeah. I mean, I'm even switching to the Canadian side. You know, one of the names I'd highlight is CPKC, which is Canadian Pacific Kansas City. So it's headquartered out of Calgary. It's one of the larger railroads in North America. Most people recognize it as CP Rail. In 2023, they agreed to a merger or an acquisition with Kansas City Southern. So if you think about, a year or two ago, CP Rail essentially had a network which extended from the East Coast to the West Coast in Canada. They got together with Kansas City Southern, which essentially had a railroad from the U.S. Midwest all the way down to Mexico. So when you add those two together, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. So they got together and now they have a railroad, which is the only single line railroad that extends on a transcontinental basis. So from east to west in Canada, the U.S. and then north to south from through the U.S. all the way down to Mexico. So a great marriage. You know, it was a great thing for the railroad and for quite frankly for the future of the stock, and which is why we're recommending it for clients. If you think about generally speaking though, for the railroad, they reported their results as well. And one of the things that's going on with the railroads right now is that volumes are subdued. If you think about why that would be, well, obviously they transport goods for various manufacturing business customers, just consumer products, that type of thing. And obviously, the economic backdrop is not, I would describe it as tepid. So volumes have been very low. Plus in trucking, which they compete with, there's a lot of excess capacity right now which has put some pressure on pricing. But these railroads, if you think about them as networks, one of the ways that these railroads are offsetting that volume, the subdued volumes, is that they have good pricing power. It's very tough, obviously, to duplicate a railroad. There's high barriers to entry. They have right-of-way passages through densely populated urban and industrial areas. So there's that. That's kind of one of the things that we like as investors. We like a significant, durable moat. Right. That's one of the hallmarks of quality investing. Exactly. We tend to gravitate towards at TriCert. So they've been able to maintain pricing power. So while volumes have been very subdued, pricing power has been above cost. And one of the ways they're doing that, Mike, if you think about it, a railroad network is essentially like a factory. And so what you want to do in a factory to maintain high efficiency is just to increase throughput. And the way that you increase throughput is you do things like you increase train velocity, you increase length of train, you decrease things like terminal dwell. You run a very efficient railroad. And at CPKC, they have a CEO named Keith Creel, who's uber focused laser-like focus on things like efficiency, right, trying to run these railroads as fast and efficiently as possible. And that drives costs down. So even though volumes are subdued, they have pricing power, because when you move goods from point A to point B and you deliver goods on time, you're providing high service. And when you provide high service, you can charge a premium price. And so that's what they've done. Through this volume decline that we've seen, they've been able to maintain solid pricing, and for that reason, they've performed very well, even though we've seen sort of this economic malaise.
Okay, well, that's great, and nice tie into our definition of quality. So that's a great summary. So let's look forward. Any thoughts? Any things maybe that you're watching in terms of concerns or potential to do very well as we look into the next few quarters?
I think the biggest thing right now is in industrials and information technology is finding the next opportunity. Because again, the markets often move in advance of, you know, what's to come. And right now it's not easy to find a cheap stock. You know, we like quality, and sometimes you have to pay up for quality, but I think where we settle is on a reasonable price. Right. And so one of the things that I'm finding is that it's difficult right now to find that next opportunity at a reasonable price, because the market has moved so much in advance of the fundamentals. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, I think more recently we've sort of decided that we should probably maybe take some money out of the industrial sector and distribute it to some other parts of the sector which offer better relative value. So I would say that's one of the challenges that I'm seeing right now. Right. From a fundamental perspective in information technology and industrials.
Okay. Yeah. And again, it's back to your point on it's really not from a business perspective. It's more from a price perspective, and getting, especially our newer clients or new money to work, it's hard to justify that when you're looking at some of the prices we're staring at.
Yeah, I can say that, again, you know, I use the analogy of, you know, it's like going to the grocery store right now. You know, when you go to the grocery store, you're not buying the whole store. You've got to find the right aisle. You've got to find the right shelf and you've got to find the right product. It's no different when you think about the S&P 500 or the MSCE fee or the S&P TSX. You're not generally buying the market. You're buying a certain aisle in the market, a certain product in an aisle. And so there are always opportunities. And what we're trying to do is unearth those opportunities. I think right now, when you look at our core picks that we have in industrials and information technology, I can think about what I did recently in our update to the team from yesterday, actually, is that most of the valuation targets that we have on a lot of the stocks that we're recommending for clients either stayed the same or moved higher. So the business fundamentals for the companies that we own, these quality companies that we own, actually are improving or getting better, and which is why those target prices or valuations went either sideways or up. So we're still like the names that we have and that we're exposing or at least buying for our clients.
Excellent. And folks, just when Dave, when you mentioned team, just so folks know, you and the other sector leads regularly update those client facing, if you will, PMs to keep them on top of what's happening with the core picks. So
exactly. Okay. I think about, you know, the market is big. It's capricious. It's very difficult to get your head around sometimes. It's very complex. And so the collaborative approach that we have here at TriCert is likely the best approach. And so we regularly check in with not just the other members on the investment management strategy team, but just our client facing PMs as well. So that we're always, you know, front facing and aware of what's going on with the names within our clients' portfolios at all times. And that's been a sort of a winning strategy for us traditionally.
Excellent. Dave, thank you for this.
Thank you, Mike.
As always, folks, if you have any questions, reach out to your financial advisor at your CPA firm, or don't hesitate to reach out to your TriCert Investment Counsel portfolio manager, and don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care, everyone.